God be the glory for the Lamb of God who gave us a new relationship with God the Father. Our message today is the cross was in God's heart before Calvary. The cross was in God's heart before Calvary. Because God loved the sinner long before Christ died on the cross on Calvary's hill. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." In Christ, look at your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, since you are born again, did you know you were blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places?" Let me tell you something. You see, a lot of times as we refocus our attention on some spiritual things, it'll help us with some carnal things that we're going through. God says, set your affection. But many times it's not there, but we can refocus. And I'm telling you something. We need to get all of the blessings from God's word that we can. Because if you like me, we need it. We need it. So if I can, minute, take my mind off of my problem and place them on my blessings, it's going to help me. You see what I mean, Sister Paula? See, God is not writing this to us for nothing. He's writing this that we can learn from it. It's for our learning, and it's for our encouragement. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's good pleasure to choose us before the foundation of the world, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us, look here, y'all, accepted in the beloved. You may not accept me, but that's okay. I'm already accepted. I may not be accepted in you or in you, but I'm accepted in the beloved. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, my Lord. You see, in order for us to be redeemed, the blood had to be shed. But God is speaking that before the foundation of the world was laid, the cross of Calvary was in my heart. Before the prophecy of Isaiah 53, the cross was in my heart. You see, the process of predestination had to include the death of our substitute. So therefore, Calvary was in the heart of God before Christ ever walked up that hill. You know, I am glad that God unveiled this truth to us. Because when I think about this truth, it let me know that you and I, no matter how bad of sinners we were, God saw fit to save us before he planted the foundation of this world. He knew that the heel of the Savior would be bruised, but he also knew that it would take out the head of the archenemy. God is saying to us, the cross that is so precious because of what happened on that cross, all of the beating, the pain, the abusing, the piercing of his feet, his hands, and everything that he went through on that cross, all of that terror, and even saying, why have thou forsaken me? All of that darkness and all of that weight of our sins, all of that was already in the heart of God before that fateful day on Calvary. And he knew the results of the cross. So therefore he could say, before the foundation of the world, I save you. Wow. Wow. Lord, it's like the enlightenment don't come until I get saved. And then it's like you remove the scales and let me look at what I have in Jesus that I could not see, because I couldn't see it because it had to be seen through the eyes of faith. It had to be seen through the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who's the discerner of the Word of God. You see, those who have not the Spirit of God, they cannot discern the Word of God. They can speak the Word of God. They know the letter of the Word of God. They can read the Word of God, but they don't really know the Word of God. That knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit wrote this, wanting us to know you ain't no afterthought. You know, if somewhere when you're going through your misery and you're feeling so bad, every now and then turn your eyes to the cross. When you're being beat up all kind of ways, mentally, physically, emotionally, you just torn, you're right. Look to the cross. Because on that cross, he was torn. He carried the weight. He was tortured. His own didn't receive him. His own people, according to the flesh, his own people that he created, his own world rejected him. But still, knowing all of that, he went to the cross. And you see, because of this knowledge of Ephesians 1, 7, and 3, we can see the cross in the way it should be seen. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 1, 18. And this is amazing here. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, the cross, Baroni, that was in the heart of God before Calvary. before Calvary. Because all of the process to save you was in the heart of God. And he knew it was going to work. Because it was God in Christ reconciling the world back unto himself. We see the cross as the power of God. The power of God to redeem us from hell was housed in the cross. So it's no little thing when we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it includes the cross. It includes the grave. It includes the resurrection. But one of the traps that you and I don't want to find ourselves in, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Those who don't know the Lord in the pardon of their sin, they say you're wasting your time. You ought to find something better to do. Your life is short. Why do you waste the time? Why do you dedicate your life to the cross? Don't you know that stuff is just foolishness? And some of the translations of that foolishness is moron. So you got to be careful, believers, because our flesh is not eradicated. We're being saved because we're going to get the new body. There's a completeness that's going to happen, but we're in a process. And in this process, we're at a stage right now. And at this stage that we are in, that's where you get your trouble. That's when you go through things and you say, well, the realness of this thing is what I feel and what I'm going through. It is so real to me. Yes, it's real, but never make it more real than your God. You see, a lot of our problems linger and we take the wrong attitude. You don't want to say it, but I say it for you. What you and I have done, we are easing through our flesh on the side of seeing the cross as foolishness. And once you see the cross as foolishness, you won't lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross. And you wouldn't see how the cross before Calvary tugged on the Father's heartstring, because that was his son who was going to hang there. You didn't see the cross where he would take the weight of our sin upon sinless sovereignty. You didn't see it, but Christ saw it. The Father having that in his heart before it actually happened. He had to carry that from the before the foundation of the world. Many a generations had to pass with him carrying Calvary in the Father's heart. He had to carry Gethsemane in his heart before it happened. Christ had to carry that, knowing that one day he would say, Father, is there any way that this pain, this suffering of he who knew no sin was about to become the sin barrier? Will you remove this from me? But the Father had to carry that, knowing there is no other way for redemption but through your blood, the Lamb of God. But we drift. We get off course because of this dual citizenship in heaven and earth. And because of this person who have this flesh in me that's eradicated. It's just as nasty, just as evil, just as emotional, just as treacherous as it have ever been. Yet the Holy Spirit is here. And many times we won't give the right away because there's a thin line between the flesh and the spirit. We can come to church and not listen to the word of God, and a part of us is, let's get it over, whatever. You know why? That ain't the Holy Spirit in you. No, sir. That's the flesh. See, the Holy Spirit know that the pastor, the speaker, has an assignment. And once he's taking that seriously, the Holy Spirit is engaged. The fight, the battle, the Bible say, is with the flesh and the spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit in you want to be engaged on the word of God that the Holy Spirit wrote. He's awesome. He want to be engaged through you in his word. And yet your flesh don't want no pause. I got better things. Watch us drifting into the foolishness area of our humanity when it comes to the things of God. And watch yourself grow cold. You won't say it. You won't say it. But you start growing cold. And the things of God, the church of God, the people of God, it become a labor. It become harder than it ought to be to the believer. But he carried Calvary in his heart before that fateful day that his son took that cross. How do you see the cross? And you know, you and I need to be reminded of who we are. And just because I was reminded yesterday, all of my yesterday, I was reminded of who I was in Christ, I need to be reminded every day. Because the attacks are not getting weaker. The attacks and the fiery darts, they're becoming more, more, and more potent towards us. Because the Bible says the devil knows he has but a short time. So he's not taking no annual leave and sick leave, y'all. He's going to wear you out. Then he's going to ask you, where is your God? Well, I want to tell you, your God is the same place he's always been. He's in the same place he was when he saved you. His love for you haven't diminished. You're just in the process of time and what's going on in a cursed world until he redeemed the world. See, the world even groaning. The earth is groaning behind this sin. Man, he want to shut your mouth up with the word of God. He wants you to stop believing. I see the saints, and I ask myself, whoa. Is it a big task? What's happening? If there's something better, can you let me know? If it's truly better, the cross was in the heart of God before Calvary. See, it had to be. Because there couldn't be no bloodshed. It couldn't be no redemption. You couldn't do this before the foundation of the world was placed. You couldn't do it. The next point is, because of this knowledge from Ephesians 1, 3, and 7, we see the cross as the only thing to boast in concerning our salvation, Galatians 6 and 14. Galatians 6 and 14 says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this now. By whom the world has been crucified to me, dead to me, and I to the world. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this here as we're talking about how the cross was in the heart of God the Father prior to Calvary. Now how do you think it made God the Father feel when you begin to boast in that cross that was in his heart before Calvary? And now all of a sudden, you are valuing it as God value it. So therefore, you boast in it. You boast about it. You talk about it. Wow. Wow. See, more you and I learn about the cross, more we should boast in the cross. Also, turning our attention to the aspects of the cross and all it entails will bring that joy to our heart that we can boast in our Savior. And if I'm occupied with being boastful, Jesus, spending my time talking about Jesus, guess what? I'm going to have less time for my problems. Now, here's the thing. You're not ignoring your problem, but Jesus is your help for your problems or with your problems. There are some things you can't do by yourself. Start boasting in him. I believe if we boast like we should in the cross, there will be a lot of things in life that wouldn't cross us up. A lot of things is crossing us up because we are boasting in those things. And when those things and those people and those activities and those finances and whatever that may be, and you begin to boast in them, and then you find out they are not all that they are cracked up to be. Now you've wasted your time, your energy, your boasting in something that's perishing. See, you boast in a person, but they may not be here tomorrow. That's why I preach Christ. I point you to Christ. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't know when God's going to call my name. You don't know neither. So while I'm here, I'm going to point you to the cross. I want you to point you to the heartbeat of the Father God. And if you hook on to it and you get it, you realize that's the proper place for my focus. Preach, I can hang with you when you're talking about the cross. I can hang with you when you're talking about the heartbeat of the Father. I can hang with you because I know what took place on Calvary in history.
but I didn't know what I saw that prior to, and I understood about Ephesians, predestination. But I didn't put the two together. That in that predestination, there's the process of how you were going to be saved before the foundation of the world. And the how was the cross. And so therefore the cross was in the heart of the Father. When his son spoke out, is there another way? I believe the heartbeat, if I could personalize it, got a little stronger because God already knew what he had to do. Christ knew what he had to do, but he wanted to show us his humanity. He wanted to show us that he was under pressure. And see, when you're under pressure, not only do you want God to be with you, but you want a friend to be close. See, we don't, we see Christ, God and man, the God-man. But he wanted his three apostles to pray with him. You see, they were close to him. He said, y'all pray with me. I like this. Because sometimes we can get so spiritual, it's just God. No, God will show me things. Yeah, it's God when he show you people. You see, Ronnie, the little thing that you do walking in my office and with that smile and coming over and shaking my hand, you really don't realize what that do for me. Even Jesus wanted some friends in his time of crisis. Even Jesus Christ. Because it has a way of saying you matter. That's all. Don't have to be much. Just say you matter. Not only do it say on the road that the believer's on that you matter, it also say carry on. Keep going. But the cross, man, I can't imagine what the Father felt. All that time, he knew the predestination. He knew that doctrine, that who were going to be saved. But he also knew how it would take place. He also knew through the suffering servant, as Isaiah called him. He knew about that. He knew about all the abuse. He knew about the spit in the face and being beaten with the cat of the nine tails. He knew about all of that, and he had to carry that before it happened. See, we talk about the Holy Spirit personhood, and part of his personhood is that he got feelings. Come on, somebody. Are you with me, sister? I got one. So don't grieve him. Now, we know the Holy Spirit is none other than God. Huh? So I just want to, and there's many other attributes and personhood that going, but I want to look at that because sometimes we treat God as though he don't have no feelings. Sometimes we treat God as, God, you better know we got feelings because we hurt down here. We going through something down here. And never consider he going through something too. Can we get real in the house? See, the Bible tells us, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed. Now, you know you and I, we grieving from time to time. Huh? You know you don't grieve him since you've been saved. Don't you lie in the house of God.
Wow, wow, wow.
I wonder.
Everybody agree with me that God got feelings? You agree with that? The Bible teaches that? Okay.
And you're dealing with your feelings, and you're all bogged down.
You ever think about his feelings? No, most of the time we don't. Because I think sometimes we don't mean no harm. But Hebrew heritage is one of the things. There are many things. But one of the things where I say we don't mean no harm, because we think God is bigger than feeling. Well, you're looking at that wrong. See, for God so loved the world, he gave his son. You see, God was so attached to his chief creation. When Satan disturbed that fellowship, that relationship that he had with Adam, God said, oh no. See, when you disturb that, you touch my heart. See, what you don't realize, Satan, when I made man, I didn't make him like nothing else. No animal, no creeping thing, no fowl of the air. When I made him in my own image. I gave him intellect that's out of this world. And everything that I did make, I gave him dominion over that. Pointing out who was special in the pack. Every now and then I believe it's you as well. Yes, your struggles, your hurts, your idiosyncrasies, whatever you're going through, they are real. Don't let nobody tell you they're not real. Don't listen to that foolishness. How you going to help me and you only believe what's going on with me is real? And I got a toothache. Your toothache ain't aching. That's unspiritual. No, let me go and find a doctor quick. No. First, you got to acknowledge. See, a lot of times, you and I got the knowledge before God that we are weak, even before you acknowledge that he's strong. And every now and then, I know it's hard, because we are selfish. I'm hurting. I'm going through. Y'all just don't know. Yeah, we don't know, but God knows. But have you ever tried? When you were going through, you know you're going through, and you want relief. You want deliverance. Have you ever tried to say, well, God, how you feeling? Huh? Yeah. I was in church Sunday, and Pastor brought that out. And it's true. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't hurt him. Don't cause him hurt. But a lot of times, God, I'm so occupied. I'm so wrapped up in me that I forget you. And the one I forget is the one that I need to help me with my problem. Are you with me, somebody? You see, sometimes, watch this now. Get your glove out, catch a few things. Sometimes you got to help the one who's helping you. Sometimes your blessing is wrapped up in somebody else. But they don't know that your blessing is wrapped up in them, because they can't see through the cloud of trials and tribulations and ups and downs and all arounds. Satan got them preoccupied, shackled, and nobody's there to break the chain. Sheila sang that song, God will break this chain. You know, a lot of times we heard that God would do this, God would do this. We really think God going to do all this himself. But God uses people to do some of those things. But if my mind all tangled up, the house is burning down and I shall not move because I'm saved, God going to get me out of here. Wait a minute, the gas just blew up in the house, is on fire. I'm running. We're leaving. Come on out. Come on out. I'm not moving because I know my God. He never failed me. He never going to leave me or forsake me. He's not forsaking you. He got me telling you, come on out. I threw a rope in there to you. God threw that rope through me. Come on out. See, God has set us up to be family. God have made us relational. And when we forget that, a lot of the grief you got with God is your own fault because we don't realize, yeah, God would do some things, but some of the things God not going to do miraculously as you think. God going to use you to do them. Huh? Moses, I've heard my people cry. I know their taskmasters. I know what they're going through under old Pharaoh. Okay, do something, Lord. I am about to do something. Take your shoes off, boy, at this burning bush. I got your attention now. You've been seeing burning bushes in the desert. But you never seen one burning like this consumed. That's what you ain't seen. Because this holy ground. Come here, boy. I'm about to do something for your brothers and sisters down in Egypt. But God, do it. Who am I? But I'm going to do it through you. See, we forfeit some blessings by not letting God use us. And a lot of hurt that people are going through is because you refuse to be used by God to help somebody. Now, you see, you can pray all you want to pray. And that's good. Please pray. Pray without ceasing. But let me tell you something. Sometimes God have already given you the answer. He's telling you, do it. Oh, brother so-and-so, I see him. And sister, I see him. Okay, you do? My God. Let me move on. I got one more. It's just so much. We see the cross as the power of God for salvation. No cross, no power for salvation. We see the cross as the only thing to boast in concerning our salvation. And also, Galatians 2:20, we see the cross as the place of our crucifixion with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Am I getting any sense? Galatians 2:20. You know, a lot of times you have to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You know, a lot of times our mind is so fixed. Our mind is, let me tell you, can we get real in the house? Our mind is so, if we would tell the truth, sometimes our mind is so fixed on what we need to fix us that when God gives us the medicine that we need, we won't take it. We are looking for another prescription. And a lot of times, a sermon like this may not be what you are looking for, but what you need. But you won't take the spiritual medicine because you don't frame in your mind what you need. And everything that tickle your ears may not be good for you. Because this is solid here. We talking about a heartache before the predestination. The predestination was before time, as we know it, before creation of the world. But that heartache was before time. Because you can't predestinate us and not knowing the operation to how to get me there. Am I right there, bro? Hebrew. Got to come through the cross. So that means the Father knew that. He knew he had to turn his back on him. He knew he would ask him a question that he had to tell his son. Son, no, there's no other way. There's no other way for this thing to work out to bring glory to God. There is no other way to bring him glory. I wish it was. Father, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If, since there is no other way, let's get at it. Let's start the process. Hey, you guys, wake up. Let's go. Time is near. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. I've got my answer. You know, so many of us are looking for those other ways, Ronnie. And God has stated in his word, for this particular thing, in your particular situation, in your particular life, there is no other way. Because God has said, I'm doing a work in you and through you, and I'm putting you on display. And there's no other way, because of what I'm doing to you, in you, and for you, it has to come with you being on display. So you're telling me, take you off display. If I take you off display, then what I'm doing in you and through you and on you cannot be seen by others who I want to reach for my glory. Jesus say, okay, Father, got the message. There ain't no other way. I got to do it your way. Let me finish this one here and come on off. 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Not only do I know that I see the cross as the power of God, not only do I see the cross as the only thing to boast in concerning my salvation, I see the cross as a place of opportunity with Christ. My brothers and sisters, you and I have peace with God. And we cannot, will not be condemned with the world who know not Christ in the pardon of their sins. Because the cross is foolishness to them. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, what? Safe.